How much do you pay for this?
Blog Talk Radio.
Think. Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all of your realty, financial, business, and entertainment networking needs. Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host today. I would like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today? Our guest today is Tanya Mendoza, an appraisal from the Midwest. She is going to be giving her expert advice about changes in the market and things that you should look out for and what your appraisal should do step by step. Tanya, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. How about yourself?
So far, so good. Before we get started, I'd like for everybody to know, how can they reach you if they have maybe appraisal advice and need some professional advice? Or
they can either reach me by email or by phone.
My
email is T as in Tanya, Mendoza, M-E-N-D-O-Z-A, 50 at yahoo.com. And my phone number, my direct line, is area code 219-510-4924.
Okay, everybody. So in order to reach our professional tonight, you'll reach her by email, which is tmendoza50@yahoo.com, or her direct line, which is 219-510-4924. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself so that our listeners can, get a chance to have a feel for who you are.
Well, I pretty much, most of my work, the field that I'm in, has to do with real estate. I am an assistant of a pretty, I want to say, very successful broker out in Northwest Indiana. And he also manages properties in Illinois. So I pretty much have an aspect from the Indiana and the Illinois side. I'm currently a real estate appraiser, and I've been doing appraisals since 2004. I grew up in Chicago, but I live in Indiana, so it's really interesting. I like it, because like I said, I get a feel of both markets, Indiana and Illinois in the Northwest. And I usually work out in the south part of Chicago. But, I love my job, so I don't mind traveling anywhere in Illinois.
Okay. So would you say that appraisals are your passion?
Yes, they are. They are. They are. I learn something new all the time. I try to stay up to date with, the latest news on, the mortgage downturn right now, the real estate market. So I do. I love my job, and I have a big vision. So, I definitely do like it. I love it.
Now, how did you come about deciding to, make appraisal something that you wanted to get involved with? I mean, did you just kind of learn about the industry and loved real estate and decided that was something you'd like to get involved with?
Yeah, pretty much that's how I got into it. Actually, when I was in high school, I always wanted to do something with real estate. I just, I always thought that I had to have like a master's degree. And as I got older, I realized that that wasn't the case. I did go to college. But I didn't get a master's degree, so I ended up getting a job at, a pretty successful firm out in Lansing, Illinois, and they market both Indiana and Illinois. But before that, I had already had my appraisal license. And, just, made it into something better and bigger than what I thought it was going to be. So.
All right, great. So you're saying that to turn that passion into a workable business, you first partnered with someone who was already in the field, like a mentor.
Yeah, pretty much, yes. I pretty much decided that I had to surround myself with people who were at the level that I wanted to be at. So that way I can, you know, grasp, you know, what real estate is really all about, not just, you know, get into the appraisal and not know what's going on. You have to know a little bit about, you know, the market itself, about the mortgage downturns, about the, you know, the real estate trends, about, you know, the do's and the don'ts. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
Okay. So what would you say you would view as a challenge when you decided to start or to become an appraiser?
Well, anytime that you are in an independent contractor and you're pretty much working for yourself, you always have to spend money to make money. And
okay.
In order to even do that, you have to be determined to know that that's what you want to do. And that's all, you know, where I was at. You know, I was, you know, you have to buy your marketing tools, you have to buy software, you have to, you know, become a member of a Realtor Association, National Association of Realtors. You know, there's, you know, dues and fees that you pay along with it, but at the end, it pays out.
Wow, that's great. Now, what I'd like to ask you is, from my understanding, you're just about to, next year, take on an undertaking as far as opening up your own firm.
Yes, I am. I am. I'm waiting on a couple things as far as from the state, the Illinois Department of Financial mm-hmm. and Professional Regulations.
Okay.
And I'm going to set, you know, everything up, and I'll have my own firm. And like I said, I have a vision, and my goal is to make that vision come true.
Wow, that's great. So it started off with you working for someone else, and then you, I guess, take it, you passed the required exams that you needed to take so that you'd be able to be in business for yourself. And so now you're just waiting for them to finalize and send you the rest of the paperwork needed, huh?
I do. I need one more document, and then I can represent myself as an certified real estate appraiser.
Okay.
You know, but in the meantime, I still do a lot of market analysis, you know, and
okay.
I do, you know, give out public information, you know, which there's nothing wrong with that, and I still enjoy what I do. But actually, if you don't mind me saying, I was in the process of when I first obtained my appraisal license, I was, you know, I was knocking on doors, you know, looking to see who's going to hire a trainee, and of course, nobody's going to hire a trainee, and I was using the wrong words. You know, I kept saying I was a trainee, which I shouldn't have. I should have just said I was a licensed appraiser. Anyhow, I stumbled upon, you know, the firm that I work for now.
Mm-hmm.
They hired me on the basis of my license that I was holding. You know, I would, you know, they figured that, you know, I was useful in that area of market analysis.
Wow.
I made it clear that, you know, I was in it to become a successful appraiser. They took me on and they hired me, and I learned a lot more than I thought I was going to learn, as just opposed to working for a appraisal firm. You know,
wow.
All in the appraisal business and the industry, nobody wants to take you on as a trainee because they're investing time in you.
Right.
And 2 years later, eventually you end up becoming their competition. So,
yes.
You know, it's really hard to find someone who's, you know, going to give their time. You know, you either have to pay them or you have to do work for free. So,
wow.
You know, and that's pretty much how I ended up where I was, you know, but I did make it clear that I was, you know, trying to become a successful appraiser, and so I do a little bit of everything, but, you know, most of it involves real estate, and it's my passion. I love it. I enjoy what I do, you know, and you can't go to work hating your job, because otherwise
you're right about that. So what would you say the biggest advice you could share with our audience that helped you the most? I mean, if there was one thing that said to you, this is what you need to do, or this is who you need to see, whether it's a person or whatever, what would you say helped you the most?
What helped me the most, you mean as far as becoming an appraiser or just...
Yes, you know, from when you're looking at when you first started, that helped you become successful. I mean, I know you did mention that you know, you found a firm also that was successful and that could teach you things. But what was it? What helped you? You will say give you that edge.
Pretty much that, you know, like I said, I was determined to be successful at what I had become, you know, and I think everybody pretty much knows that you have to start from somewhere. You can't climb a ladder from the top of the ladder. You got to start from the bottom.
Wow.
So, you know, and I decided that I was going to make it work for me, you know, because that's what I wanted. You know, you have to go for what you want. If you really want something, you have to go for it.
So we'll say determination,
exactly.
And you made a choice to become. That's great. Now, for those out there that are just tuning in, you're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Tanya, would you like to share with our listening audience and for those who will be archiving, downloading our archives, how to get in touch with you before we get into the actual appraisal process?
How to get in touch with me. Again, you can email me at tmendoza50@yahoo.com, and that's tmendoza50@yahoo.com. Or you can call me directly at 219-510-4924.
Okay, now let's say I'm about to sell my house, or I just want to find out, you know, I'm going to refund my house or just want to find out how much my house is worth. And I hear the Think Big Radio interview, and I've got your number, and I call you up. What am I to expect? What is the very first step?
Well, the very first thing is finding out the purpose, you know, for the appraisal. You know, the purpose, you know, what am I going to come and do the appraisal for? You're just curious to know the value on your home, you know, and then you pretty much, you know, you give me your location, and you tell me, you know, a brief description of your property.
Okay.
And then we take it from there. You know, I confirm an order, and I come and inspect your property. Based on the condition and the location of your property, you know, whatever the market trends is for your neighborhood, that's going to determine the value of your home.
Okay, so you've come to my house. I've shaken your hand. You walk through. You take a look. What features or what specific things do you look for or will be in your report that's going to determine what my house is worth?
Okay, the number one thing is people always have to remember location, location, location.
Okay, great.
It doesn't matter if you have a 3-bedroom bungalow out, you know, in the middle of a market that is completely stagnant or just, you know, has gone down and it's, you know, difficult to come up versus a bungalow in Chicago, you know. And I don't want to say anything bad about any, you know, other neighborhood out there, but, you know, people will say, you know, well, I have this, you know, I have granite countertops, you know, but you have to be mindful of the, you know, what location you're in. So I look for, you know, of course, like I said, you know, I've already, you know, drove around your neighborhood and looked at the conditions of the surrounding homes, you know, the pride of ownership in your neighborhood. I look at that. And, you know, is there a lot of boarded up homes in your neighborhood? Are they going to decrease the value in your home? Another thing is, you know, if you've maintained your home, like I said before, the condition, if you maintain your home, you know, you do upgrades. You can't always put a granite countertop in your kitchen if your market doesn't call for it, you know?
Okay, so what you're kind of saying is that let's say I live in a neighborhood where there's a lot of board ups, a few vacant lots on my block, and I might have a $40,000 kitchen and a $20,000 bathroom, but the houses in my neighborhood are going for $80,000. The money that I put into that property, I won't see it back.
No, it will not contribute. No, no, no. It will not. You know, like I said before, you have to be mindful of, you know, are the surrounding homes in your area, are they maintained? Are they, you know, in excellent condition like yours? Are they, you know, most of them boarded up like you just described?
Right.
You know, otherwise you're not going to get, just because you spent $10,000 on a granite countertop does not mean that it's going to add $10,000 to the value of your home, you know? The same thing goes for if you are in a market that is, you know, very desirable. You know, if you spend $5,000 or $20,000 on upgrading your kitchen cabinets, you know, you might get a $40,000 return, but that all depends on the market trend in your neighborhood.
Okay. So is it like, let's say here, what if I live in a neighborhood and all of the homes in my neighborhood are $400,000 and they have those granite countertops and the bathroom that costs, you know, $15,000 with a jacuzzi, the his and her showers and things of that sort. But my house doesn't have those things. Let's say I've got your, you know, the same bathroom that came with the house when it was built maybe 20 years ago, old faucets, and you know, my kitchen is, you know, just a basic kitchen with a, let's say, a 1980 stove and refrigerator, and the cabinets are from the 1980s. How would that affect the value as opposed to all of the other houses are worth, you know, $400,000?
Well, you might want to consider if that's what the market is calling for, if that's what buyers are seeking, you know, if that's what buyers are attracted to, then you might want to consider upgrading your home. You know, if you're considering on putting it on the market and you want to sell it for $400,000 opposed to your home being, you know, not upgraded, you might only, you know, sell it for, you know, $320,000, $350,000.
Okay.
So you always want to look what sold in your neighborhood and what the features were, you know, what the upgrades were. Were there upgrades? You know, did they have pergo floors opposed to, you know, hardwood, you know, hardwood floors, you know? You know, do you want to, you want to consider all those aspects. You want to, you know, see if how many bedrooms does that neighborhood usually have? How many bedrooms do those homes have that are on your block? Do they typically have between 3 and 4 or between 4 and 5, you know? And you have to remember that you can't have a 5-bedroom home with 1 bathroom. You know, if you want to turn your attic into 2 more bedrooms, you're going to have to add another bathroom somewhere, either in the basement or in your attic, wherever you're doing the upgrade in.
Okay, so that will even help.
You know, you just always have to be mindful of, you know, how much money you're going to spend and how much that spending, how much those expenses are going to contribute to the value of your home.
Okay. So what would you say would contribute the most value to my home if I say, let's say I had $100,000 and I wanted to go into my house. I'm in the right neighborhood as far as pricing, you know, whereas I'm in a high-end area. The houses are going for a minimum of $400,000 and I have $100,000 that I could possibly put into my house that I've had for, you know, 35 or 40 years. What would you say I should concentrate on as far as to increase the value and get the best return on the money that I'm about to put into it?
You should consider, you know, the bedrooms, the bathrooms. If the homes in your neighborhood are, you know, have kitchens that are, you know, up to date, then you might want to go and consider doing that. You know,
okay, so I want to get an up to date kitchen.
Right, you want to get an up-to-date kitchen. You know, those are features that attract homeowners the best, the most.
Okay.
If you're selling to a family, you know, people always want to have a nice kitchen,
right?
A spacious dining room, you know, a living room or a family room.
Okay.
You know, are the basements in your area finished? Is it typical for those basements to be finished with either bedrooms or bathrooms or family rooms down there? I would definitely advise, you know, if your home is not up to date, like the surrounding homes on your blocks, and you know, go ahead and spend the $30,000-$40,000, and you might get, you know, 100 or more in return, you know.
So let me ask you about when you come to someone's house, is there anything that would make your job easier for them to have available for you?
The things that make, you know, make it easier is, you know, most of the time, you know, we measure a home from the outside, and a lot of times we're not sure exactly what the boundaries are as far as the lot.
Okay.
You know, if you have a fence and your neighbor doesn't have a fence, you know, like, where does the lot end? Most of the time we can tell, you know, with our eye.
Right.
But it makes it much easier if I ask the homeowner, you know, when I schedule my appointment, do they have a plat of survey available for me to look at? And then that way I can put the actual square footage of the home and the size of the lot so that I can use the right comparables in that area.
Oh, okay.
You know, and another thing is have a list of current repairs that you've recently made. You know, did you just put new windows in your home? Did you just, you know, put a new roof on your house? Did you recently do all the electrical wiring and plumbing, things of that nature? You know, have those things ready. So when I come, I just, you know, pick it up and take it, and I make a copy of the survey, and, you know, that makes it a whole lot easier.
Now, what are appraisal pricings? Is it like every state has different pricing, or is it pretty much kind of uniform across the U.S.?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's uniform across the U.S. I'm only familiar with my market in my area. So
mm-hmm.
normally for a normally for a single-family residential, you know, in your typical bungalow neighborhood, it's, you know, runs about $300, you know.
Okay.
If it's for a FHA loan, it can cost between $50 and $100 more than...
Now, why would it cost more with an FHA? Is there more work involved, or...?
There's a lot more work involved. You have to do actual more... you have to inspect more, you know, thoroughly. You know, you have to check for certain things, you know, are they working? You know, typically, as an appraiser, we're not really considered... you know, home inspectors or surveyors, you know, therefore we don't always check and see if certain things are working. But with an FHA appraisal, you know, they require you to check and see if, you know, the water is running, you know, do the commodes and the bathrooms work, things of that sort. It's a little more tedious and there's more work involved. So
wow.
It's going to cost you a little more. Now, if you're going into a small income residential, whether it's a home that's used for income purposes, it's rented out, that also requires other forms. So it's that's gonna cost you between $350 and $375. At least that's what that's what I charge normally.
Okay.
Now, when you're talking about investment properties, you know, 2 to 4 units, 4 to 6 units. That's going to cost you more than a little over $400, you know.
Okay. We have a caller right now that's calling in from the 312 area code. Let me take
mm-hmm.
this call. Caller from the 312 area code, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. Do you have a question for Mrs. Mendoza, our professional appraiser expert?
Yes. I have a home that I purchased for about $99,000, and I had it appraised at the time, which was about 2 years ago, for about $150,000, but I tried to put it on the market and didn't really sell. So it took about 6 months, and I just took it off the market. And when I had an appraiser come in again, he said that it needed about $30,000 in work. So should I pay for the, should I refinance to get that $30,000 to put work into it to sell it higher than, to sell it high on the market?
Normally what happens sometimes, when the market was really booming 2 years ago, you know, and I'm not saying anything bad about anyone, but, you know, anyone was able to get a loan. And with that loan, sometimes people do what they call creative loans. And with a creative loan, sometimes, you know, you have, an appraiser who is, asked to, either max the value or, try to see if you can appraise this property at, this much. And the problem with that is exactly what happened to your experience is that 2 years later down the line, the market crashes. And, that property that was appraised 2 years ago at $150,000 now is worth, only $90,000. So now you either can't get the equity out of your home, you can't refinance, and you can't sell because it was, overappraised in the first place to begin with. And I don't, recommend people doing that because, in most cases, you get what happened to you. Now you're saying that your house is only worth, they're telling you it's only worth $90,000 and that it needs those repairs. What I would advise you to do is, there's a lot of public information on, on the internet, and see or ever have someone give you market information on your neighborhood and see what's selling, what the trend is in your area. I would consider making sure that you practice your property right in the first place, because you don't want to have your house on the market for 6 months. If you would have priced it right in the first place to begin with, you can get a contract in 30 days versus paying, the mortgage on a vacant home for 6 more months,
Wow.
So you definitely want to get an honest market opinion. The honest, market value of your home is whatever those homes that are similar to yours, whatever they're selling for in that area, that's what your home is worth.
Now when you say area, what do you mean by area? Can area be described as, because some selling areas that we as real estate brokers have may cover 50 blocks right and left. So when you say area, how close to your home should you get those comps from?
Well, I always try to stay within less than half a mile of the home.
To
stay, if I can get homes that are 2 blocks down the street, 3 blocks down the street, whether it's north, west, or south of the home, that definitely determines the value of that home. And it, the square footage, the room count, which is the bedrooms and your bathrooms, are family rooms typical, living rooms, you have to make sure that all those things have the similar features that your home has.
Okay. Our caller, I guess you must have answered our caller's question because they're off the phone now. Maybe they're on the internet doing exactly that. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Is there anyone that you'd like to thank as we wind this show down with our last couple of minutes?
Yeah, I actually would. I'd like to thank you.
Oh, thank you.
For inviting me on your show. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And, I'm a very spiritual person. So, of course, I have to thank God first. He gives me strength every single day that I wake up. And I want to thank, my family, my daughter, for being close to me, for, believing in me, my close friends. And then I want to thank my boss. He is phenomenal. He's just,
wow.
I look at him every day and I'm like, wow. I don't know where he gets the energy from, but he is definitely a multitasker. I've learned a lot from him. And he gave me an opportunity when no one else would, and his name is Steve Meeker, and he's a realtor in the Northwest Indiana area. He has some listings in Hebron area, Valparaiso. He does market properties in Chicago in the Southwest suburbs. And I have a close friend of mine. Her name is Shamika. She is a great person. She's always believing me, always pushing me, always encouraging me. We encourage each other. But she's another person that, I always keep in contact with. She's also a real estate investor, and she knows a lot about, property investment.
Wow, that's great. And once again, we're rolling down. So is there, can you let everybody know how to get in touch with you?
Yes. Again, my email address is T as in Tanya, Mendoza, tmendoza50@yahoo.com. And my phone number is area code 219-510-4924. Do you mind if I say a couple things?
Well, we're actually down to our last 10 seconds, so if you can get that done. And
okay, well, if you need an appraisal, I will beat the price of whatever appraisal, you know, you're doing. Give me a call, email me, contact me. If you have any questions, I'm here for you.
Once again, you're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We're going to end our show today with Sade by Your Side. Make sure you guys out there give Tanya Mendoza a call. All the contact information is in there, and she will make sure that it's done correct and proper. Once again, think big, everyone, and have a big evening. I'll leave. BigRadio.com. Have a big day.